As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
What up? Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus. Here's the deal. This week we're doing something a little different for our final episode of the year. We're trying out a new piece of technology. So this one is pre-recorded because we went ahead and did this on the Odyssey app. We're trying out some new features where the audience can be interactive. So if you're hearing this now, I'm sorry. We already did the interactive part and you can't chime in, but it went pretty interestingly and you can hear people's comments kind of real time. So yeah, it takes a second here to get populated and then Brandon joins in and then we have a lot of fun with it. And let me know at some point here if you think it's the right move or not. You think we should do more of this in the future? I think it felt pretty good. Anyway, let's kick it off. Let's go.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey, Leslie's here. Benji's here. Hi, everyone. Just populating some people in the chat right now and whatnot. You're welcome to chime in as we go and say what you got to say. We're going to evaluate some of the robots throughout film history. I'm not really great at films, and I'm not... don't know a lot about
you're the worst
that,
at films.
But I do... There is, a much better chance that I've seen a film if it has robots in it. And so, yeah. Hey, there's Matt. Let's go talk about robots. I'm with you. Anyway, so thanks. You can always comment in the chat. I'll see that happening here as well if you want to pop in and share something or if you strongly disagree. Hi, Michelle. We could do that as well. What I'm starting with is a little list. This is a weekly show that we would normally do. Let's put it that way. We would normally do this show on a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app. But we wanted to go live and see if people would participate and give us their takes on these things as well. I have a co-host. His name is Brandon, and he is navigating the app as we speak, finding out how to get in here and to join us. But what happened is I just kind of was Googling, and I found the slash film review of all the best robots, 25 top robots of... this is written last fall, and I was like, no, I want to see what I can do with this, because I have a lot of things from my childhood as well that have influenced me, and so we're ready to go and talk about this. Can you enable callers and questions? I don't know necessarily how to do that, Leslie, but I'm working on it. Questions. Available. Yep. Okay. Callers. Yep. I'm on it. There we go. Both are enabled. And now I'm looking for... Brandon's going to join in here in just a second, and we'll get going. Anyway, thanks for hanging out and being patient as we get this set up. This is our first time doing this. Again, I'm Gregor from Mornings on 107.7 The End on Alt 94.7 in Sacramento, and I've been doing Nerd Talk for years and years and years now on the internet as well as with as a podcast, as a live Tuesday morning show, and here we are doing this. I'm not a scientist, an engineer, a supervillain. All I've ever done is just talk on the radio. But we have done a lot of nerdy things, and the feature's been around forever. Slash Film did this list last fall, the best movie robots of all time. I don't watch a ton of movies, but when there's a robot in it, the odds go way up. I was lucky enough, after a decade-long drought of no video games in my house, to recently... there we go, there's Brandon. I was recently able to add a Valve Steam Deck to my life, and so suddenly I'm playing video games again, and I just finished one of the best games I've ever played, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Now, Brandon, are you a... I think you have to unmute yourself there, buddy.
Hey,
I'm not getting it through my headphones. That's going to be interesting.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that's how it goes. Are you yourself a video gamer, Brandon?
I'm like a very bad FIFA player, and that's about it. I'm like a good, I'm like that kid that went to the sleepovers and watched everybody else play video games and was super content with that.
Oh, really?
That's so weird. I'm a video game voyeur, basically.
Say that again. But it's all right. I watched my college roommate play Final Fantasy VII for like months. Just watched along because the story was good enough. So I'm playing this Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, right? And there's this little robot in there. It's easily my favorite ever Star Wars droid, which I feel bad betraying R2-D2 like that. But BD-1 is his name. So I started thinking about what my favorite robots are. Looked at that list from Slash Film and made up a top 10 list. And so I guess that brings us to something very special that we do every week.
Question of the week. Is... what's the best movie robot? I feel like we've talked about this before, but I feel like this list is ever changing.
Well, I went through, I found a couple lists. Pace Magazine did one, the 100 greatest movie robots. That's a little bit deep, and there's like a lot of like crazy sci-fi that I've never heard of on there. And so then this one from Slash Film is a little bit more recent. And so I took out like some of the ones that were like a little more ambiguous to me and really simplified this list down, and then we'll see what didn't make the cut and whatnot. So my own list starts with, I didn't actually know how to feel about this. At number 10, I chose the Sentinels from The Matrix. And like, they weren't necessarily like robots that are like beep, boop, boop and doing cool things or really characters that you could engage with, but they were like nasty. Do you remember seeing The Matrix for the first time? You must have been 5 years old.
I remember being terrified. Like, I was more scared. The two movies that like stick out from my childhood the most as, I have distinct memories around The Matrix. I guess it's three movies. The Matrix, The Titanic, which is when I saw my first boob, and Mars Attacks. And I was terrified of Mars Attacks because I was really scared of skeletons as a kid. And those aren't robots, but I do remember like not being super scared of the robots in The Matrix because I was like, this doesn't look like the real world. Keanu Reeves doesn't look like a human. Just kidding. Those robots are scary, but they're killing, like, it's a sci-fi. It's very clearly sci-fi, where Mars Attacks, even though those aliens did not look terrifying at all, the vaporizing that they were doing to people looked much more realistic to me.
The aliens that had like the record player that was like, you have nothing to fear. We'll be nice. And then they were zapping people. That's amazing. Okay. The Sentinels were like, you know, trying to drill into the, first of all, the ship being called the Nebuchadnezzar is incredible. But they're trying to drill into the ship and, you know, effectively murder everybody. That's pretty terrifying, but also, not all of these are like villains that I'm thinking of. You frame as a certain way, and they are certainly a villain.
Well, like I guess I want to know because I'm surprised by your number. Like starting off number 10 with the Sentinels is like very interesting because you say what's the best robot? You start off with a bad robot, with a very scary robot, not like a good robot, like a whatever your BB-1 is. And so like, what's your qualification for a best robot? Is it because like if you're doing like robots that can do a lot of damage and like you know, take over the world, it's like, does Skynet count? Skynet a robot?
Oh,
like the Terminators are robots
there.
But
yeah, we'll get to Terminators for sure. Okay. I just think it's memorable. I think it's just something that like stays with you, or that was like important. And this is like totally like, I didn't find this one on really on the list very much, but like number 9, I put Mecha Godzilla. Like, as a person who is obsessed with Godzilla, I absolutely love the idea of a robot dinosaur trying to murder us, you know? Like,
the Power Rangers put the robots on the dinosaurs and then became robo-dinosaur Power Rangers.
Basically, yeah. That's the premise, right? But only, it was like Godzilla was the enemy and then humans did what humans do, which is try to science the enemy away with technology or whatever, rather than maybe acknowledging it. So they try and fight. If I get this right, I might have it all wrong. They try to fight Godzilla with a robot Godzilla, and of course Godzilla's going to win. And then what happens? So.
It also kind of seems like we've talked about this a lot on Nerd Talk Plus, which is we identify a problem, okay, something like climate change. Like, instead of fixing the problem by being better people and, you know, whatever, recycling, do something like, let's build a massive bubble in space that will block the UV rays. It's like, yeah. But instead the amount of coal,
instead of letting us melt, we'll just reflect the sun back and nothing bad will happen, right?
Yeah, so it's like Godzilla, what if we created another Godzilla but stronger? It's like basically how Jurassic Park works, right? It's like, what if we just built a better cage for the biggest dinosaur?
Do you still follow Jurassic Park at all? Is it something that you're
absolutely
like into?
No.
So what did you think of this trailer for 65 then, where Gizmodo's headline was like the best? It was like, Spaceman Adam Driver fights dinosaurs. That's the movie. I'm like, yes!
Yeah, it's like, I mean, first of all, Adam Driver is my celebrity crush. So, first of all, I'll watch anything with him in it. Although I was a little disappointed to be like, okay, so it's Jurassic Park, but in space, but space is Earth. So, it's Jurassic Park.
Do you think it's going to tie into Jurassic Park? Do you think we're going to find out that it's actually a Jurassic Park film? Or is it like Planet of the Apes meets Jurassic Park or something like that? Like...
Yeah, that'd be sweet, actually. It's just like the distant future where maybe he's Chris Pratt's great 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 grandson.
Yeah, or something, or like Interstellar meets Planet of the Apes meets Jurassic Park or something.
This is gonna be like a very nobody's gonna remember this movie. You definitely won't remember this movie because you've probably never seen it, because you've never seen any movie. Like,
as we're doing a movie review,
Nate in the chat said Chappie is his second place to Hal.
Now I've seen 2001, and Hal is so freaking creepy, Nate. That's like that's the creepiest.
You've never seen any movie. The robot the plot of After Earth is like when Will Smith and his son Jaden Smith basically land back on Earth and
they fight a whole army of mutant Chris Rocks.
Yeah, and the they should make that a video game, just like a so instead of Chappie, it's Slappy, the Robo Chris Rock.
That's incredible. Of course I sipped my drink when you said that.
but is Chris Rock doing a South African accent, which would be wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond to that. Now, I never saw, what was the one with District 9? Is that what it's called? Was it called District 9? The one where the aliens are here?
District 9 was another movie, but Chappie was its own thing, made by the same
filmmaker. Chappie the same guy, though? Wasn't it done by the same
director? Same director.
And so, yeah, that was... I really love District 9. I don't know what my problem is, why I never saw Chappie. It seems so dumb now that I never watched it. But, like, it seemed cool in the previews and everything. But Hal was terrifying. I don't know. Yeah, did you watch Chappie?
I didn't watch Chappie, and it does look like a thing that I would be into. So I'm curious if, Nate, like, what's Chappie's deal? Because, like, is it a robot that becomes sentient? Because, like, the only thing I can remember from the trailer is just, like, Chappie putting on a gold chain and, like, acting like a gangster.
Starring in a Die Antwoord video? Like,
yeah. Like, do I need to know more about South Africa to like this guy? Or, like, is it just kind of that's it? He's like, I've become sentient and now I wear a gold chain.
Siege, our very dear friend Siege in the chat says gold chain robot sounds like Florida. Last week it was cocaine animals, this week it's gold chain robots. Everything's Florida.
What are you getting tattooed on your body for the show this week?
First of all, that's amazing. Thank you, Siege, for that. I Chappie to me always seemed like kind of like the, not like the reboot, because that's not fair, but like another version of Short Circuit, like with Johnny Five, where like it was like a lovable robot that was like maybe against the odds of the other robots or something like that. Again, I don't remember.
Nate, is it worth seeing? Spoiler alert.
One to five stars. What do you give it, Nate? We're looking for that in the chat here. Thanks so much for hanging out today and joining us for, we're just going over like the top 10 sci-fi movie robots that come to mind. This one was, I was always really freaked out by this because it was like dystopian stuff really bothers me because it feels like we're headed in that direction.
Yeah.
For sure. RoboCop, though, was like
the
combination of like really bad 80s filmmaking, Detroit. Was it Detroit? I think it was Detroit, right? Nate will know. He's actually in Detroit, I think, if it's the Nate I'm thinking of. And then, I don't know, like, just, like, bad special effects. And
Military-industrial complex worship.
Yeah, I'm going to bring Siege in on this. We're gonna see if we can have a three-way here on the show today.
Oh, man, I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Siege, are you there, buddy? Wait, hold on. I'm missing it now. I added him, but I don't see it coming in, so hang on. We'll see if he pops in here. It might take a few seconds, they said, so there we go. Definitely Detroit. Thank you, Siege. Appreciate that. Yeah, it just feels very 1 to 5 for, I guess if Chappie's your distant second best robot, I guess it has to be a 5 out of 5 star there from Nate about Chappie. Okay, we'll watch it as our homework before our next episode of the new year, and we'll come back to you on that. RoboCop, though, was like so creepy. And, like, again, a combination of dystopian and then, like, cool stop-motion animation for, like, the bad guys and stuff. But it was his, like, one-liners that were so awesome. And his, like, if you weren't good at robot dancing that, like, made him, like, maneuver through things. But the, your move, creep. I think that's one that gave me, like, hard to sleep. Kid shouldn't have watched that when I was 8 or whatever, and we watched it anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know if RoboCop might even be too old for you, Brandon.
No, I was recently scrolling through one of the streaming services. I don't remember which one, and the remake of RoboCop came up. And
oh yeah,
did you see
like Nick Cannon or something like that? No.
As far as I know from the trailer, no. Did you watch? I'm going to assume no, because I always do. So I'll ask the question. Did you ever see that series on Netflix? I think it was Altered Carbon.
Oh, that sounds good. No. It's kind of familiar.
I think you would like it. It's kind of like a noir mystery type thing set in the future where people can have like different bodies, but your soul is kept. I don't know if your soul or your identity is kept in this like chip that goes in the back of your neck. It's kind of a crazy thing, but as long as that thing doesn't get destroyed, you can't die. But anyway, the actor from that is this like Swedish, Danish something guy who, Scandinavian people, I don't know, you're not all the same, but I don't know what he is. So he plays the new RoboCop, which I guess all of this doesn't matter because you've never seen Altered Carbon, so
starring Joel Kinnaman, is that his
Kinnaman.
Name?
Yeah.
Gary Oldman and Michael Keaton. I mean, it's like the lineup's there, but it just didn't hit for me for whatever reason. And not starring Nick Cannon. So
now, I want to see like the Drumline, but instead of Drumline, it's RoboCop Nick Cannon. Have you seen Drumline, Greg? Have you seen Drumline?
No, of course I haven't seen Drumline. What's the one with Rancho Carne? I've seen that one. What's that one? Step It Up or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that one. Is that good enough?
I haven't seen that one.
All right, moving on. Number 7 from my childhood specifically and then to the films. I might have gotten this number wrong, but Data from Star Trek. Creepy, right? Those eyes, really weird. And that skin looking all dead all the time.
Is he he's the one, I didn't watch Star Trek that featured him. Was that the one where
Brent Spiner?
He had it was like the thing that went across, it's like a visor, right? That like went across.
That's Geordi LaForge. No. That's LeVar Burton, his character. Okay. This guy's like this like really pasty Russian looking robot. If you
or Swedish
seen it,
or kind of Norwegian or whatever.
Or whatever you are. Whatever place that's not here that white people live in. That's what he was. Yeah, it's hard to talk about it. It was like the, you know, Star Trek was such exploration into the, like, the human mind and psyche and state of emotions that they created this robot that get your Star Trek bots right, Brandon.
I'm sorry.
That's courtesy of Siege. But yeah, like, Star Trek was such an exploration into humankind, and it was like such a soap opera without being terrible like soap operas, where it was like more about humanity and other, I don't know, like, species and our relationships. And so it did a really good job of introducing a character that wasn't capable of having emotions until they made a movie where he got the emotion chip and he couldn't handle it. But yeah, Data was so well performed by Brent Spiner, and he never really did much else except for Independence Day, where he was the doctor where the alien grabs him by the neck and makes him talk up against the glass.
Oh, that was the same guy?
Same guy, dude, with long hair, looking like a creep. It was cool.
Oh man, I love Independence Day. That's a great movie. Sadly, not enough robots in it.
Yeah, any robots?
No, because like
Will Smith punches stuff.
Like,
hey.
Yeah, I'm thinking about movie. Man, I gotta see Will Smith punch those aliens from Mars Attacks, because that's the only way I'll be able to sleep at night.
Old Slappy's back. That's good. Number six. This might be controversial because other people have it higher, I think, but C-3PO. Listen.
Oh, okay.
I hated C-3PO as a kid. Like, I hated C-3PO. Like, every scene with that goldenrod, and it was awful. And I wanted to put BB-8 here because I love him so much, but the internet would kill me if I did.
Yeah,
but C-3PO was
not allowed to
so
like
annoying, and not until they introduced Jar Jar Binks did I think that C-3PO wasn't the worst character in Star Wars.
I don't know if I put C-3PO up here because, like, I feel like he was the original comedic relief, like, foil to the seriousness of the movies, right? Like, R2-D2 yeah. was like the robot that did everything, where C-3PO was kind of like the translator basically for R2-D2, which is like a very interesting decision to make as a filmmaker, to be like, I can make this robot talk, or I could just make another robot that talks for that robot.
Yeah, weird, right? They need like a duo, right? Is that the idea? Is that it's like a, not a buddy film, but you know what I mean?
Like, just like, I want to say like Abbott and Costello, but in robot form. What if they got Abbott and Costello to voice R2-D2 and C-3PO? No, but like, I feel like he didn't contribute too much to the anything that happened.
Yeah, he was just kind of a nuisance, and sometimes would point it out and get them into more trouble. He was just kind of like comic relief almost, which is like, meh.
Yeah.
Leslie in the questions here on the Odyssey app is asking, "Where's this list from?" Well, Leslie, it was a list of by Slash Film that was like a top 25, and in the interest of time and the movies that I've seen, we've reduced it down to the top 10 here. And so this is the Gregor official list of robots that I like from movies that I've actually seen. Number 5 is the aforementioned Johnny 5 from Short Circuit. This could easily be number 1 on my list because
my
Johnny 5
one.
Was so important to me as a child. But then I went on this podcast and it was they bring on guests, and then they have the two people argue over whether or not they agree or disagree with whatever. It's Casey McClain, a local comic, and Taylor Bonzer, and they did this. And they were like, bring a movie. And I was like, oh, it's Short Circuit. And does the movie suck, effectively? And I was like, oh, this is the most important movie of my childhood. So I brought it in. And Taylor was like, I got to be honest with you, I have never watched that because I was 2 years old when it came out. And I was like, oh, so this is like an old man movie, but still, for a kid, it was so huge, man.
Dude, I was a baby when that movie came out, if I was even born yet. And I remember, like, my grandma had like four movies on VHS, and when we would go stay at grandma's house, one of those movies was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The other one was the original live action Super Mario with John Leguizamo, and then the third one, like, I don't remember the fourth one, but the third one was Short Circuit. And so I remember watching Short Circuit so many times, and Johnny 5 would definitely be my number one. I feel like that the fourth one was Three Ninjas.
I follow one of the Three Ninjas on TikTok now because he's incredible.
One of the actors, I'm pretty sure if you look back at it, and the fun fact about Three Ninjas is one of the actors is Michael Douglas, but not the one that you're thinking about.
Electro, Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
no, but like, hey, Johnny lips. Five is for sure. Yeah, Johnny Five is
your mama was a
snowblower.
Just insult comedy and everything. Amazing. Yeah. Leslie says, if we're going to talk Three Ninjas, I'm in. Well, okay. Call on in, Leslie, if you really want to talk Three Ninjas, we're down. Yeah, Johnny Five was a big deal. It was a robot that was supposed to be a murder machine by the U.S. government, gets struck by lightning, goes haywire, and develops sentience, and ends up being a this lovable, laughable character that just can't stop consuming input, as he would call it.
Siege, it's a hard no, buddy. Highly underrated Short Circuit 2. Highly rated exactly how it should be rated.
Yes, there it is. He's got it, though. If you can, Siege, if you can remember the song from Short Circuit 2, that's the only redeeming quality to it. They lost Steve Guttenberg in it. They lost, what was the, Ally Sheedy, is that her name? So hot in War Games, and then, like, so 80s in Short Circuit. But Los Locos kick your Los Locos kick your ass. Los Locos kick your face. Los Locos kick your balls into outer space. Yeah. Yay! Oh boy, I'm sorry,
Tony. Okay, yeah, I'm a loss for this one. Tony says, "What about those robots that looked like hamburgers in that diner with the old people that rebuilt the building?"
Dude, I know this one. I have it as my honorable mention. Oh my God, Tony's the best for bringing this up. Wasn't that Batteries Not Included? The Fix-Its from Batteries Not Included? I think that's what it was.
Idea.
They were like these little, hovering things, that, and they looked like the the Mayor McCheese sort of, and they'd fly around buzzing around and stuff. And they had little baby robots, and then they helped the people fix up the place so that way the old people. I don't know. One guy didn't talk, and all he did was quote like a Bumblebee from Transformers. Spoiler: it was all he would do was quote television commercials that he would see, and so Batteries Not Included was the big like punchline in it. God, I love
all
that
right,
movie
I guess
so
it,
much.
Is that like a
Jessica
solid,
Tandy
like,
was in that? What?
Was that like a solid 80s robot sci-fi movie that I should probably watch?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the equivalent was in like now times that like you wouldn't see unless you were a kid and like easily enchanted by simple things. Like I saw Lyle Crocodile with my son the other day. He's 5. And like I would never see that, but I was like really happy that I did. So, yeah.
Leslie,
that was the first movie I ever saw in the theaters. Yeah.
Leslie, that's the first movie you ever saw in theaters. That is the movie equivalent to the first concert that I ever saw, which was Weird Al.
What? How do I not know this about you? God, your parents are so weird, dude. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't even know how I ended up there, but it was Weird Al at the Puyallup Fair.
Oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. Ride some rides, barf a little bit, eat an elephant ear, see some Weird Al. That's pretty good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
All right, so moving on from Johnny Five to number four, this is to Leslie's comment about the first movie she ever saw in theaters, Transformers. This is a long arching series, and it has like some pretty decent significance to me, but also like kind of a point of ire for me, I would say. Like the Michael Bay Transformers versus the animated series from the 80s are like really, really tough comparisons there for me. Like Michael Bay got it, as far as I'm concerned, all wrong. Like Shia LaBeouf was all right. Megan Fox looked really oily in every film that she was in. And like Optimus Prime was like Frank Welker or whatever his name is, still did the voice. And so that was awesome. And Bumblebee was really cool with his like only playing stuff for the radio as he transformed. But other than that, like all of the Decepticons are so terrible. They don't look like anything, and then they don't transform into anything you've ever seen. And that was kind of the whole rub of the film, is that like Starscream was like a F-14 or whatever, you know, or like a MiG probably was what it was, because to make it like the Russians or something.
Yeah,
but like they didn't do that at all. They just looked like these like really dumb futuristic things, which I guess is the theme of it. But then don't make the Autobots look like Chevy products or whatever. Make them into, not that there's anything wrong with Chevy products, it's not the
point. I mean,
point.
But was it like the entire thing was basically just a big car advertisement for things like the Chevy, whatever, the Charger, the Dodge Charger, or whatever it was. Yeah.
And then Machine Gun Kelly wins in the end. It's like crazy how that...
Wait, where does he come from? Machine Gun Kelly does sound like if one of the Autobots
like the,
had a baby with
Irish
one
Autobot.
Of the humans. Yeah.
he's the opposite to Megatron. He's like the gun for the Irish gun for the Autobots.
He turns into a shillelagh.
But then if you change gears and you go back to my first film that I ever saw in theaters, Leslie, was the Transformers animated feature in, like, what, 1986, I think it was?
Yeah.
And, spoiler alert, but Optimus Prime dies in, like, the second scene. And that was only after one season of Transformers. So all of the Optimus Prime lore was ended right away, and Rodimus Prime took over, and it just wasn't ever as good from that point out. And I was like only five and I like understood this, but the biggest part about that film is when the planet, there's that whole planet that transforms, Unicron, and it has Orson Welles is the voice of it, and it's like haunting and huge and like evil-ish, but also like just like kind of neutral in its like destructiveness, like an actual robot, which was, well, as you'd want them to be, not how we're programming them now. But
is the Death Star a robot?
No, it's not.
Okay,
but imagine if the Death Star transformed into a robot
and was sentient, and then
and then started blasting stuff and had giant wings for some reason, even though it was in space and there's no air
space
pressure.
Wings.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, all right, well, whatever. How cool is it that the Transformers could just fly too? They could just transform. Wait. And then just like.
Did you see the this is not robot related. Did you see the video recently?
Robots.
Maybe it's an old
in
video.
Disguise.
This guy it was like a astronauts, and they were trying to show if you got stuck in the middle of the ship without anything to grab onto or hold onto or move yourself around, you cannot get back to the wall. You have to like contort your body in all these crazy ways in order to reach. And it's like, man, I bet you that guy wish he had space wings like Unicron.
There's nothing for it to, when the wing flaps, there's
Well, that's
no
the point. It's
air
like
resistance.
The guy couldn't get to, like, all of his buddies, astronaut buddies, were sitting on the wall laughing at him, and he couldn't reach the wall, and so he's, like, doing these planks and, like, crazy pike things with his arms, and I was like, man, could he just, like, fart?
I think that you would, like, yeah, that you'd sneeze or something like that to try and get some momentum or whatever, or, like,
yeah.
Does that work? I don't know if space ball. No,
I think I read like, but then it's like, does all the thrust from your butt get caught?
Go
in
go
your
gadget
pants?
Legs.
Go go gadget butt thrust.
Hey, like, is Inspector Gadget a robot? Because he could be. Oh, wait, that's not a movie though. Oh wait, but there was the one with Matthew Broderick.
Oh yeah, but is he a human or is he a robot? I don't know, like the Inspector Gadget lore.
Now Michael has a good comment that is relevant to this next robot on our top 10 list of robots in film. And that is the adorable, beloved Wall-E and Eva, while we're at it. But little Wall-E, who's by himself on Earth, left behind after the humans leave the trashed planet, just working away, building his little trashy skyscrapers and being lonely and sweet with a cockroach for a friend. And he's so adorable, right? And then Michael says that he wants to see Wall-E versus the Terminator. And I am dying on the inside a little bit after how sweet I think Wall-E is, because then you think about the Terminator just crunch. It's
destroying.
Like stepping on a skull in Terminator 2 and like looking around with its like menacing robotness. And I'm like, oh, Wall-E! But Eva, on the other hand, if it could be Wall-E and Eva versus the Terminators, maybe.
Yeah. I was talking to my wife actually recently about Wall-E, and she did not remember or had never seen the movie, and I was like, oh well, that's a one that you have to watch, because I think that it's probably the most accurate depiction of what the future will be like. Mm-hmm. Like out of all of the robot sci-fi movies that we've seen, like Wall-E's probably got it pretty spot on. That one iRobot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, iRobot.
Oh, Sonny's
a great
robot.
Brings up another one. Who's the guy that voices iRobot?
It's Alan Tudyk, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He this is tough. I'm gonna save it because he voices another character that I definitely wanted to put on the list, but I didn't know if enough people would be there for it or not.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Number two, since we were talking about Wall-E just a second ago, I think it's gotta be the Terminators.
Mm-hmm. Just all of them.
Yeah, because there's different levels. And like the first Terminator, terrifying. Then the second Terminator comes around, and like the bad Terminator's good, and he's got all these catchphrases and stuff, right? And he's like Austrian for some reason. And then the good Terminator is one that melts.
Or Norwegian or Swedish or something like that.
Yeah, one of these things. Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, non-American white.
Yeah, yeah.
and so, yeah, the Terminators. And so I started to, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, I'm sure, because it's whatever. You start thinking about all the different Terminators they had, and there's like, really, you got to stop counting after a certain point because it just gets so dumb, right? There's like too many resistance and all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Of the three main Terminators from the first few films, how do you order them? There's the T-800, which is Arnold. There's the T-1000, Richard Patrick. And I don't know who played the T-X, which was the femme Terminator that was more advanced. It could, you know, transform in different ways. Like kind of like one of the Decepticons from the Transformers franchise.
Yeah.
She could make more complex machines. How do you rank them? Because I think one of them is easy to put in last place, but I don't know about the other two.
Yeah, yeah. I'm putting as much as I love the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator, I think I'm going for the T-1000 only because it felt more terrifying to me because it was like, and I don't know if they did this on purpose, but they went very much for like, this guy just looks like the Nazis from every movie that you've ever seen and is wearing like military uniforms and tracking people down and can like absorb every shot and everything. And
it's the scene like, where they cut to him and his arm is reached out and he's just stabbed the dude through the face with his sword hand or whatever.
Yeah. Question from Michael. Yeah. If you could become the Terminator, would you?
Oh, I'd become the liquid metal Terminator for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm at a point in my life right now where things are like, I've experienced it, so let's do something different. Is that a good way of coding how I'm actually feeling?
So your body's falling apart. Karate's not doing it anymore.
But imagine if you could stretch arm songs from karate. Like, oh, you want to see my katana form? Check this out, judge.
Would you turn into RoboCop?
Or would you rather become Wally, he says. Well.
Well, yeah, he already eats trash, so...
I think I would become Terminator, yeah. Best blue steel look ever is the T-1000, says Nate.
He does always, amazing. He like, T-1000 always, like, kind of always looks like he's eating something sour. Like, he's just, he's like walking around, like, if he didn't pull out a gun to try to shoot the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the T-800, he would go, I'm going to get you.
Let's have a gas fight. That's there you go. Now, my big beef with TX, so I put T-1000, I don't know, I think the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator is the coolest. I'm going to go T-800, then the T-1000, and then TX. I hate the TX purely because they did like a dad joke with it. They like punned it up. The X is so they could call it the Terminatrix.
I mean, solid.
I don't... No! Don't encourage this! No!
You want pain, she says. She like
that's like the tagline.
Why does she call everybody daddy? I don't get it.
So from 3, 2, 1, 3, Wally, 2, the Terminators, which somehow Michael predicted as going to be in a fight between the two. I don't know how that happened. To number one, I think that movie lore and the world of robots can agree, like almost everyone can agree that R2-D2 is like the most important or best robot of the movie world, you know, since they started including robots for real in movies.
I think I'm going, I know we'll get to this in the honorable mentions, but I'm saying Iron Giant. But I do have a question for you about R2-D2. Yeah. Okay. Is like, how did you feel? I mean, you watch the original trilogy, right? And you see R2-D2 being his little beboppy little self, and then you watch him in like the episodes 1 through 3, where all of a sudden he can like he has a jetpack and can fly and can basically fight like everybody else, but he's still like cute little R2-D2. It's like if in the next Star Wars trilogy, BB-8 can transform into a MiG and like shoot everybody down in space.
He becomes a Dinobot.
Yeah. Like, how did you feel? Like, how did you feel about him like becoming a I don't know, like hard 2-D2?
I could tell you how I justify hard 2-D2. Okay, I see it as like Kenobi like. Let him fall into disrepute for 20 years or whatever. And so like all that stuff didn't work anymore, wasn't being maintained or whatever. And so he just didn't have access to it. I think that they were just trying to make modern kids be impressed by it. Because remember when the original Star Wars came out, it was like, do you want to go out and ride your bike or do you want to read a book? Because otherwise, you had to get your little brother to get up and go change the channel on the twist knob television with your 3 channels, maybe. And so, like, a robot that could go and the people could understand him and fly around in space and an obviously, you know, like, what do you call it? Like, stop motion, like, animation of a space jet. Like, that was massive. But then kids, like, this is, you know, like, when the prequels came out and R2-D2 made his reappearance, like, we were on the internet and stuff then, and it was like we were leaving all that behind, and we had cable almost universally, you know, and like this is pre-YouTube and stuff, but like you had to do more to impress a modern kid at that point. I think you had like PlayStation 2 or whatever.
So if R2-D2 is in the next trilogy, he's going to be doing like Fortnite dances and
okay cool. There's gonna be
R2-D2
After Dark, and it's gonna like the some of the appendages that come out are gonna look a little bit, well, probably actually kind of the same now that I think about it.
Like the Argentinian goalkeeper winning his award.
That guy really diminished the credibility of his whole run, I thought, with that. Anyway, but when it comes down to it, there's like a bunch of Star Wars robots that I left off the list, and one of them Alan Tudyk voiced and is. Like, it's tough because after playing this video game with BD-1, which you should definitely check out, Brandon, it's so good. It's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. BD-1 is so sweet and cute, and I love him. But then, yeah, Nate figured it out. K2SO, which is the big, tall security droid that's been hacked and turned over. And so in Fallen Order, spoiler alert, BD-1, once you get him the little, you know, the wiener attachment that makes him be able to talk to other robots and stuff, the After Dark, BD-1 After Dark, BDSM After 1, BDSM 1.
BDSM 1, yeah.
Yeah. Well, once you start fighting those things, and like when you get it down to it where it's damaged enough, he'll jump on the back and reprogram it. And so you'll have him fighting for you. And Alan Tudyk is so good as the voice of that, and he's so sarcastic and wonderful.
Is he the voice in the because K2SO is from Rogue One, right? And that's where the Alan Tudyk character is.
The best Star Wars movie.
Is he also the voice of the character, like the K2SOs or like those robots in the video game?
I think so. There's two of them, and there's a female voice and a male voice, and it sounds like Alan Tudyk, but I don't know if they'd be willing to pay or if they did a robot generation whatever.
Yeah, you know? I think Alan Tudyk is talented enough that he probably could have done both voices.
Fair. I mean, yeah. I won't disagree.
I went back and watched Rogue One, I was going back and watching because I just finished Andor. And
I'm not done yet.
It's great. But the K2SO, I don't know, is that the name of that specific robot or is that the name of that, like...
It's like type? How like astromechs are called different things.
Sure.
The K2SO is specifically that guy.
Okay. Well, there were versions of that one in Andor, and I was like, oh, is this going to be the Alan Tudyk cameo? And it wasn't. But that robot does show up again. And like, what about the robot, like the battle droids? The chrome ones that their arms turn into missiles, or the roly-poly-oly ones? Or potato bug, depending on where you live. I don't know what people call them.
I called them roly-polies as a kid, yeah.
Okay.
The KX series security droid is what what the classification is. I looked it up for there. So, you know, there's like a bunch of them. There's BB-8, didn't make the cut here. K2SO, BD-1, C-3PO, R2-D2, D-O was that little one that had boundaries in the last Star Wars movie. IG-88 was the one from the original Star Wars bounty hunting robot, and then he was in Mandalorian in the first season.
Yeah.
And then of course there's R4. Open a communications to the old folks' home, as he would say
Do we make enough robot movies anymore? Like, all these movies that we're talking about and all of these best robots that have graced this list have come out, you know, outside of Michael Bay's terrible Transformers, almost
and,
everything
and
else.
Short Circuit.
Yeah. But, like, everything else come out in, like, the 80s and 90s. Like, the best robot stuff came out in the 80s and 90s. It's like, are we too familiar with technology and robots now that, like, we can't, like... It's not interesting anymore for people to make new, interesting robot movies. Like, you'd have to completely go super... Because back then, it was like, any robot was like, oh, cool, we hadn't thought of this. And now, like, every robot exists, at least in our imagination.
I don't know. I feel like you can figure out different ways of doing cool stuff, except for General Grievous. Terrible, terrible robot. Some honorable mentions from this list that I left off of it. We'll get to the one that you said. Dot Matrix from Spaceballs was a big deal. Making fun of C-3PO when I was a kid, that was huge. I absolutely love that. I hope you guys can hear me still. I lost sound in my headphones, so let me know if you can't.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me okay, Brandon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Dot Matrix from Spaceballs, the Fix-Its from Batteries Not Included, we said. The two robots from Interstellar, which I definitely thought there was only one the whole time, until, like, I started, like, to like the third watch through of it. Dot Matrix representing for the female robots is Leslie. Amazing. Tars and Case talked about the name.
We already talked about the Terminatrix.
Get out of here. Lisa from Weird Science. That one's from my buddy Siege, who I was going to talk to him about it. We can't get him to connect. We're working on that here. We've been talking about old 80s crappy movies or whatever. So that's that. But then the Iron Giant. I watched this movie one time a long time ago, and it made me so sad. And anything that makes me like that hollow and kind of dead on the inside and sad feeling is usually like immediately my favorite. And so I have like this like super positive thought towards that 1999. It's Vin Diesel, right? The voice is in. And it's like I have
Superman.
This like
Superman.
Yeah, I have this like place in my heart for it, but I literally can't even remember the littlest part of it. So I couldn't include it because it just didn't represent well.
Yeah, I think that I remember that movie from being a kid and that first coming out, and I think that's one that stands up even as you watch when you're older, because like the themes in that movie are a lot heavier, and then you realize it's Vin Diesel, Iron Giant 2 Too Fast Too Giant is gonna be the best sequel in the history. Oh, okay. Nate just come hit with, or actually Tony and Nate both come in with Big Hero 6. That's another animated movie that came out. Thank you. Another new movie that came out with a robot, Baymax. And if you don't know, I'm Harrison has probably seen, your kid has probably
seen. That's my
seen,
boy, yeah.
Yeah, he has probably seen a Baymax movie or film or TV show or something like that, but that is a...
No, that is Brandon, you're totally mistaken. He only gets to listen to me talk, that's it. There's no entertainment in his life other than me entertaining him with
jokes. So him and I are very similar in that regard then.
Talk to your wife about it, okay? That's not my fault. You cannot blame me for that. It's hers.
Yeah. But that's Baymax. Like you would actually, I think you would properly enjoy Big Hero 6.
Well, Space Baby. Hey, there we go. Two Iron, Two Giant. Brandon gets a good LOL there. Is Brave Little Toaster technically a robot, Brandon?
He's an appliance. Like, I mean, if appliances are robots, but like, I mean, I guess he's sentient. Right, so yes, but I could see the argument both ways.
I'm gonna say yeah for sure, with eyes like those human eyes that he's got, those like Western eyes that they've drawn too big on him or whatever, like yeah. I'm gonna say Brave Little Toaster, thumbs up to that. All right, well, that does it. Thanks so much for all the great comments and the LOLs, the giggles from the chat, and Brandon, thanks for all the good takes on this. And it's nice when you find out that we're like a few years apart in age, and then we have similar takes on stuff like that. It helps validify, is that a thing?
It is now. That's great.
It helps me validify my own existence a little bit, and I'm grateful for that. And so this is fun. Thanks for being on the Odyssey app, and you can check the show out. It will now be a repeat for anyone that's listening now, but Tuesdays at 10 a.m. in the new year, we'll start back up again after tomorrow. Of course, you can also subscribe to the Nerd Talk Plus podcast. That's here on the Odyssey app as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. So thanks so much for taking the time, Brandon. Thanks a lot for doing this for free as usual.
I don't get any more money for this.
You get twice as much as you get as you normally get, okay?
Anything times zero is zero. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tony, Matt, Nate, Leslie, and everyone else that came by. Siege, of course, my God, representing Florida. If anything bad ever happens in your life and you want to just blow it off, just go, Florida. It's the key. All right, gang, thanks so much. Have a lovely day. Brandon, thanks for your time, buddy, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Nerd talk, talking
about nerd talk, yeah! From the Odyssey app. A little interactive engagement there, huh? Cool. Thanks for joining us. I just want to say real quick, we've had a lot of fun making this podcast. It's grown a ton over the last year, and I'm really pumped to be able to be part of something. Super grateful for Brandon, his hard work. He's so funny and smart, and on top of that, just an excellent, like, you get him laughing, and it just makes me lose it, so... massive props to him for being so flexible and so cool about it and spending the hour a week to goof off, and really appreciate that. And I just hope everyone has a decent holiday. It's been a pretty crappy year, and I'm not really feeling great about it, but I hope you have a nice holiday, and maybe this is a chance to turn things around, huh? Anyway, thanks so much for being part of this, and to our friends that we've made and stuff. I think of like Siege, who filled in a bunch, and Kanan, who were able to make the show awesome this year too. And so thanks to just everybody who did something to make this fun. Appreciate you. Now, Merry Christmas or Hanukkah or Solstice or whatever you do. We love you.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So from 3-2-1, 3 Wally, 2 the Terminators, which somehow Michael predicted as going to be in a fight between the two. I don't know how that happened. To number one, I think that movie lore and the world of robots can agree, like almost everyone can agree that R2-D2 is like the most important or best robot of the movie world, you know, since they started including robots for real in movies.
I know we'll get to this in the honorable mentions, but I'm saying Iron Giant. But I do have a question for you about R2-D2. Yeah. Okay. Is like, how did you feel? I mean, you watch the original trilogy, right? And you see R2-D2 being his little beboppy little self, and then you watch him in like the episodes 1-3, where all of a sudden he can like he has a jetpack and can fly and can basically fight like everybody else, but he's still like cute little R2-D2. It's like if in the next Star Wars trilogy, BB-8 can transform into a MiG and like shoot everybody down in space.
He becomes a Dinobot.
Yeah. Like, how did you feel? Like, how did you feel about him like becoming a I don't know, like hard 2-D2?
I could tell you how I justify a hard 2-D2. Okay, I see it as like Kenobi like let him fall into disrepute for 20 years or whatever. And so like all that stuff didn't work anymore, or wasn't being maintained or whatever. And so he just didn't have access to it. I think that they were just trying to make modern kids be impressed by it. Because remember when the original Star Wars came out, it was like, do you want to go out and ride your bike or do you want to read a book? Because otherwise, you had to get your little brother to get up and go change the channel on the twist knob television with your 3 channels, maybe. And so, like, a robot that could go and the people could understand him and fly around in space and an obviously, you know, like, what do you call it? Like, stop motion, like, animation of a space jet. Like, that was massive. But then kids, like, this is, you know, like, when the prequels came out and R2-D2 made his reappearance, like, we were on the internet and stuff then, and it was like we were leaving all that behind, and we had cable almost universally, you know, and like this is pre-YouTube and stuff, but like you had to do more to impress a modern kid at that point. I think you had like PlayStation 2 or whatever.
So if R2-D2 is in the next trilogy, he's going to be doing like Fortnite dances and
okay, cool. There's gonna be R2-D2 After Dark, and it's gonna like the some of the appendages that come out are gonna look a little bit, well, probably actually kind of the same now that I think about it.
Like the Argentinian goalkeeper winning his award.
That guy really diminished the credibility of his whole run, I thought, with that. Anyway, but when it comes down to it, there's like a bunch of Star Wars robots that I left off the list, and one of them Alan Tudyk voiced and is. Like, it's tough because after playing this video game with BD-1, which you should definitely check out, Brandon, it's so good. It's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. BD-1 is so sweet and cute, and I love him. But then, yeah, Nate figured it out. K2SO, which is the big, tall security droid that's been hacked and turned over. And so in Fallen Order, spoiler alert, BD-1, once you get him the little, you know, the wiener attachment that makes him be able to talk to other robots and stuff, the After Dark, BD-1 After Dark, BDSM After 1, BDSM 1.
BDSM 1, yeah.
Yeah. Well, once you start fighting those things, and like when you get it down to it where it's damaged enough, he'll jump on the back and reprogram it. And so you'll have him fighting for you. And Alan Tudyk is so good as the voice of that. And he's so sarcastic and wonderful.
Is he the voice in the, because K2SO is from Rogue One, right? And that's where the Alan Tudyk character is.
The best Star Wars movie? Yeah.
Is he also the voice of the character, like the K2SOs or like those robots in the video game?
I think so. There's two of them, and there's a female voice and a male voice, and it sounds like Alan Tudyk, but I don't know if they'd be willing to pay or if they did a robot generation whatever.
Yeah, you know? I think Alan Tudyk is talented enough that he probably could have done both voices.
Fair. I mean, yeah. I won't disagree.
I went back and watched Rogue One, I was going back and watching because I just finished Andor. And
I'm not done yet.
It's great. But the K2SO, I don't know, is that the name of that specific robot or is that the name of that, like...
It's like type? How like astromechs are called different things.
Sure.
The K2SO is specifically that guy.
Okay. Well, there were versions of that one in Andor, and I was like, oh, is this going to be the Alan Tudyk cameo? And it wasn't. But that robot does show up again. And like, what about the robot, like the battle droids? The chrome ones that their arms turn into missiles, or the roly-poly-oly ones? Or potato bug, depending on where you live. I don't know what people call them.
I called them roly-polies as a kid, yeah.
Okay.
The KX series security droid is what what the classification is. I looked it up for there. So, you know, there's like a bunch of them. There's BB-8, didn't make the cut here. K2SO, BD-1, C-3PO, R2-D2, D-O was that little one that had boundaries in the last Star Wars movie. IG-88 was the one from the original Star Wars bounty hunting robot, and then he was in Mandalorian in the first season.
Yeah.
And then of course there's R4. Open a communications to the old folks' home, as he would say
Do we make enough robot movies anymore? Like, all these movies that we're talking about and all of these best robots that have graced this list have come out, you know, outside of Michael Bay's terrible Transformers, almost
and,
everything
and
else.
Short Circuit.
Yeah. But, like, everything else come out in, like, the 80s and 90s. Like, the best robot stuff came out in the 80s and 90s. It's like, are we too familiar with technology and robots now that, like, we can't, like... It's not interesting anymore for people to make new, interesting robot movies. Like, you'd have to completely go super... Because back then, it was like, any robot was like, oh, cool, we hadn't thought of this. And now, like, every robot exists, at least in our imagination.
I don't know. I feel like you can figure out different ways of doing cool stuff, except for General Grievous. Terrible, terrible robot. Some honorable mentions from this list that I left off of it. We'll get to the one that you said. Dot Matrix from Spaceballs was a big deal. Making fun of C-3PO when I was a kid, that was huge. I absolutely love that. I hope you guys can hear me still. I lost sound in my headphones, so let me know if you can't.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me okay, Brandon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Dot Matrix from Spaceballs, the Fix-Its from Batteries Not Included, we said. The two robots from Interstellar, which I definitely thought there was only one the whole time. until like I started like to like the third watch through of it. Dot Matrix representing for the female robots is Leslie. Amazing. Tars and Case talked about the name.
We already talked about the Terminatrix.
Get out of here. Lisa from Weird Science. That one's from my buddy Siege, who I was going to talk to him about it. We can't get him to connect. We're working on that here. We've been talking about old 80s crappy movies or whatever. So that's that. But then the Iron Giant. I watched this movie one time a long time ago, and it made me so sad. And anything that makes me like that hollow and kind of dead on the inside and sad feeling is usually like immediately my favorite. And so I have like this like super positive thought towards that 1999. It's Vin Diesel, right? The voice is in. And it's like I have
Superman.
This like
Superman.
Yeah, I have this like place in my heart for it, but I literally can't even remember the littlest part of it. So I couldn't include it because it just didn't represent well.
Yeah, I think that I remember that movie from being a kid and that first coming out, and I think that's one that stands up even as you watch when you're older, because like the themes in that movie are a lot heavier, and then you realize it's Vin Diesel, Iron Giant 2 Too Fast Too Giant is gonna be the best sequel in the history. Oh, okay. Nate just hit with, or actually Tony and Nate both come in with Big Hero 6. That's another animated movie that came out. Thank you. Another new movie that came out with a robot, Baymax. And if you don't know, Harrison has probably seen, your kid has probably
seen. That's my
boy,
yeah.
Yeah, he has probably seen a Baymax movie or film or TV show or something like that, but that is a...
No, Brandon, you're totally mistaken. He only gets to listen to me talk, that's it. There's no entertainment in his life other than me entertaining him with
jokes. So him and I are very similar in that regard then.
Talk to your wife about it, okay? That's not my fault. You cannot blame me for that. It's hers.
Yeah. But that's Baymax. Like, you would actually, I think you would properly enjoy Big Hero 6.
Well, Space Baby. Hey, there we go. Two Iron, Two Giant. Brandon gets a good LOL there. Is Brave Little Toaster technically a robot, Brandon?
He's an appliance. Like, I mean, if appliances are robots, but like, I mean, I guess he's sentient. Right, so yes, but I could see the argument both ways.
I'm gonna say yeah for sure, with eyes like those human eyes that he's got, those like Western eyes that they've drawn too big on him or whatever. Like yeah. I'm gonna say Brave Little Toaster, thumbs up to that. All right, well, that does it. Thanks so much for all the great comments and the LOLs, the giggles from the chat, and Brandon, thanks for all the good takes on this. And it's nice when you find out that we're like a few years apart in age, and then we have similar takes on stuff like that. It helps validify. Is that a thing?
It is now. That's great.
It helps me validify my own existence a little bit, and I'm grateful for that. And so this is fun. Thanks for being on the Odyssey app, and you can check the show out. It will now be a repeat for anyone that's listening now, but Tuesdays at 10 a.m. in the new year, we'll start back up again after tomorrow. Of course, you can also subscribe to the Nerd Talk Plus podcast. That's here on the Odyssey app as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. So thanks so much for taking the time, Brandon. Thanks a lot for doing this for free as usual.
I don't get any more money for this.
You get twice as much as you get as you normally get, okay?
Anything times zero is zero. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tony, Matt, Nate, Leslie, and everyone else that came by. Siege, of course, my God, representing Florida. If anything bad ever happens in your life and you want to just blow it off, just go, Florida. It's the key.
Yeah.
All right, gang, thanks so much. Have a lovely day. Brandon, thanks for your time, buddy, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Nerd talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
From the Odyssey app. A little interactive engagement there, huh? Cool. Thanks for joining us. I just want to say real quick, we've had a lot of fun making this podcast. It's grown a ton over the last year, and I'm really pumped to be able to be part of something. Super grateful for Brandon, his hard work. He's so funny and smart, and on top of that, just an excellent, like, you get him laughing, and it just makes me lose it, so... massive props to him for being so flexible and so cool about it and spending the hour a week to goof off, and really appreciate that. And I just hope everyone has a decent holiday. It's been a pretty crappy year, and I'm not really feeling great about it, but I hope you have a nice holiday. Maybe this is a chance to turn things around, huh? Anyway, thanks so much for being part of this and to our friends that we've made and stuff. I think of like Siege, who filled in a bunch, and Kanan, who were able to make the show awesome this year too. And so thanks to just everybody who did something to make this fun. Appreciate you. Now, Merry Christmas or Hanukkah or Solstice or whatever you do. We love you.